is what would you do? How much do you need to get? What would you place that that draft pick in? How would you invest that? And then I have that answer. I've been talking about it since the beginning of the show today. Is that I've been watching a lot of different features on some of the people that were brought together in a California camp, like the one that Bridgewater and Kyle Rudolph and all those guys organized out in California. There was another big one with Jameis Winston. Gurley was involved in this one. Gordon was involved in this one. And an offensive lineman.
Okay.
They all met down there. And they went through every guy's scenario and what he brought to the table, who he was, the whole nine yards. They did Gurley first because he's been rehabbing. He's been taking care of this ACL. He's a great running back. Fantastic out of the University of Georgia. And a fantastic talent, no question. He's a bigger body, sort of a bruising runner, a lot like Adrian Peterson himself.
Doesn't he almost remind you, with his pads on and his helmet on, you think that's Adrian Peterson?
It kind of does. They actually describe him more as a Marshawn Lynch. I don't see it at all.
Yeah.
I see him more of the Adrian Peterson sort of makeup and the body.
He's got that breakaway speed that I don't think Marshawn Lynch necessarily has as much as Adrian Peterson had.
And then there's another one.
Yeah, your guy.
Gordon is, his name is what? His first name
Melvin
is Melvin Gordon.
Gordon.
That's the guy. That is the one for me. That's I hadn't seen him run that much. He's at Wisconsin. You'd think I would have. Mm-hmm. Didn't see him rush a lot. Just don't pay as much attention to the college ranks as I do the NFL. And Melvin Gordon is just a special running back for me. I think he's incredible. I watched him training. I watched him running. Saw some highlights. I saw some really good some things I haven't seen on him and on Gurley at the same time. And I'm as excited about getting my chance, my crack at getting Gordon, as I am bringing Teddy Bridgewater in here last year.
Melvin Gordon, what did he rush? It was over 2,000 yards and 2,500 yards and 10 yards per carry. Sometimes it was just something ridiculous last year in the Big Ten.
I think he had a 429-yard game in three quarters, too.
Yeah. He's not going to be – where do you think he's going to – he's not going to be there if we trade for the Dallas Cowboys 27th first-round draft pick. He won't be there. He'll be gone.
Well, a lot of people think that Gurley will go ahead of him, so I'm not really sure.
They'll both be gone by 27.
I think that'd be amazing, since we haven't had a running back picked in the first round, period.
Well,
and I know that we don't have like a whole slew of really great running backs.
All the teams that running back, San Diego drafts pretty high. The Arizona Cardinals will take one of them. They have to. It's really the only missing piece they have on offense.
Yep.
I mean, Cleveland could take one with their one of two draft picks. I mean, the Miami Dolphins could take one. They don't really have... They had Noshan Moreno last year.
He's injured, and he's coming back from injury as well. Look, I don't know. If you had your shot at either one, and you had your choice of either one...
Depends on where it is, but...
Gordon for me.
Gordon for you, and I don't necessarily disagree. I love Gurley. The worries... I love him as a player before the injury, obviously. After the injury, who knows? They do such great things with medicine these days and surgeries, and may never have another problem with his knee ever again.
I'm not even worried about it. If Gurley wasn't even injured, and he was just the same guy that was in pads last year, and he finished the season clean and healthy,
yeah.
And it was him and Gordon, I'd take Gordon.
Why?
Gordon is the guy. He's got what it takes to play in the NFL for sure. No question about it in my mind.
Every down back.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And another gear that Gurley doesn't have. Faster. I really loved what I saw on the highlights with him. He was an incredible physical makeup, but some of his answers, some of the conversation they had with the kid, he's a character guy.
Well, you have to be very smart to go to Madison.
You probably do.
Very high standards to go to the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Not kidding. I'm not kidding.
And that's where he went to school. I don't know what he was studying, but I'll tell you what, he can play this game of football, and that would be my pick. He is a complete package. It reminds me of a bigger Jamal Charles.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. He can catch the ball just like Jamal Charles, too.
Yeah, I want one of those two running backs in the first round if Adrian Peterson is obviously dealt away, which could happen. The draft a little over a week away. Christmas Day, basically, is what the first round is for me. First in the second and third round, even on Friday. Love it to death. According to sources over the weekend, the Minnesota Vikings won a first-round draft pick and a starting cornerback for Adrian Peterson. I don't disagree with wanting that, even though the Vikings say we're not trading Adrian Peterson, we're not trading Adrian Peterson, and they're all this scuttlebutt about what the Vikings would take or if they are talking to people. You know they probably have to. People are calling. They're listening. They're not, you know, hanging up on people. But I don't know that it needs to be a starting cornerback for me. It could be a starting middle linebacker, starting left guard.
That'd be fine with me.
Just as long as it's somebody that can start and play a key role in this team, and hopefully a younger player that can continue to grow with this team, doesn't have to be a cornerback, but something that we don't have to address in the first, second, or third round, taking that off of our to-do list come next Thursday.
You can pick up a high-round draft choice, and you can pick up a bona fide legit starter at a position that you need to fill in a gap and to know that you've got equity in the National Football League in that, then I'm all for it. I really am. Whether it's middle linebacker, left guard, I wish they'd kind of done something with it in the offseason with veteran free agency, but they didn't. So if they can pull that off and they can make it count with the first two, let's say first two picks of the first round that they select, and use a second or third round draft choice to someone who has slid all the way down, like a Gregory from Nebraska.
Sure.
I take a chance with him at that point.
Yeah, at what point, though? At what number?
At number three, a third round draft choice.
Yeah. He's not going to last that long.
I don't think he'll last that long, but it depends on what people are willing to do in terms of trust and weighing into the liability that would come with him. He may slide off more than people think. I'm not so sure. He may not dip out of the first round.
Yeah, before his positive weed test became public knowledge, Minnesota Vikings were pretty hot on his trail. He might have been number one on their draft board at that time, just out of pure skill alone. And what the Minnesota Vikings are looking for is another edge rusher coming on the other side of Anthony Barr. Do you think it's more important to have another edge rush guy or a middle linebacker?
I think a middle linebacker, to be quite frank with you. I just think that Barr and Greenway take care of things the way we need to have them taken care of. Either one of those guys can stay in the game, Barr or Greenway, when it comes to nickel. But certainly if you're looking for a big, tough, run stop, you need something in the middle right now, because we really just don't have that kind of player right now. Hodges. Audie Cole would be my guy, but they don't even seem to want to talk about it. Bringing Matthews in, I don't understand that. That's not going to be the.
He's going to be a special team guy.
Well, I think so. Yeah, I think you're right, and I really don't think that it's going to be up to that kid to fill in and somehow play like his older brother.
No.
With the Packers. I don't see that happening. But if these guys, if the Vikings can just be, do their due diligence, trust themselves. I mean, Gregory's going to have to go later. I wouldn't take him in the first round if I had two picks. I really wouldn't. If I had two first-rounders, I wouldn't use either one on Gregory.
Well, he's one more positive marijuana test away from sitting out four games. Another one after that from sitting out, what is it, eight games or a whole year at that point?
Yeah, and how can you waste a first- or second-round draft choice in something like that?
I don't
care.
You
have to make it count.
I don't care if the kid is the most talented thing you've ever seen, but if you can't lay off the pipe, you have a problem, obviously.
And when he was in there with Armstead and with
Danny Shelton yeah.
It was Gregory, and there was a fourth one in there, Williams from USC, Leonard Williams.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that was a foursome that they ran through with Willie McGinnis and Steve Mariucci, and Gregory was the guy. He was the one. He was the one that stood out.
He's really good, though. I heard he was showing up to team visits at 240 pounds, maybe, 230. Something very, very light. The teams were worried that he was coming in too light.
Wow.
And what's going on there.
He looked so much bigger than that. But I could see him at 245 or 50. He must have been 245 or 50, maybe.
Teams are saying that he was coming in very light, too light.
He's very hybrid. He's a tweener. He's a stand-up defensive end, but he's more of an outside linebacker type guy. But he's a talent. It's just a shame that some people tend to squander what could be something enormous. They squander it, and that could be the case with Gregory. We are coming back after a break, and we're going to talk with Cold Omaha's Brandon Warren regarding the Twins and the way they've been playing the faster games now, too, apparently. But we'll talk about that. He's with the writing staff at 105 The Ticket, and they are Cold Omaha, brought to you by Rogoszewski and Atkins, right here from Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub, getting ready for Game 3, Wild versus Blues tonight. Come on back.
People ask what Omaha means. It's a run play, but it could be a pass play.
Omaha! 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 Omaha!
Well, you know what? It could be a run. It could be a pass. It's kind of an audible anytime we come on with one of the Cold Omaha Riders. Because you never know. It could be any team. It could be the Wild. It could be the Vikings, the T-Wolves, or in this case, the Twins. And we have Brandon Warren because he's pretty good with baseball numbers. And he's pretty good with his Twins breakdown when we have him aboard, and we do right now. Brandon Warren, are you there?
Hey, gentlemen. We've come a long way in the last week. How are we doing?
Well, you know what? I think that we're doing fairly well. We're in the middle of a rabid sort of a hockey, just a massive crowd of hockey fanatics that are heading over to the Excel Center. So they're going
to
have a pretty good time.
Friendly to us.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Us.
If you wear a Blues cap here, you might be getting kicked out of here on a flat note, if you know what I mean.
I'm surprised nobody's walked in while we've been on the air because it just erupts with loud booing if anybody in St. Louis gear comes in here. Yeah. But Brandon Warren, we saw you at the game on Thursday, I believe, up in the press box. And I was been meaning to ask Mike Berardino or you or anybody, and I just it's been so much to talk about regarding the Minnesota Twins that I haven't had the opportunity. But you writing this article, Twins playing faster games than usual, is a great time for me to ask it. Is people that haven't been to the games don't probably necessarily see or know that there are countdown clocks in two different places in the field now. You want to explain what those are? And those obviously have to be playing a major role in speeding up these games.
Yeah, so basically the clocks exist to make sure that the innings begin and end in a timely fashion and that the commercial breaks are adhered to and that pitchers deliver pitches in a timely fashion. And so far it seems to be working.
It's basically like a shot clock for the NBA.
Yep, and they're playing faster games.
Brandon, are they going every time the pitcher has the ball? Or, I mean, because I saw it in between innings, but I didn't see it really going any other part of the gameplay.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. I think the goal is for them to eventually do that if they aren't right now. But the goal is, one thing too, is to have guys keep at least 1 foot in the batter's box at all times so they're not stepping out and adjusting their gloves or anything. So come May 1st is when kind of the they'll hit the ground here running with that plan. And then I think they'll probably start monitoring it a little bit more closely.
Brandon, what are you thinking about this whole thing, the first week in perspective and comparison with the way they've played the last two series now, winning two in a row now, the first one from Kansas City here to open the season here at Target Field, and then the Cleveland Indians over the past weekend. This has a lot of things have changed. And yeah. I would say the number one thing is attitude.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they started off pretty rough with the home opener, but turned things around pretty quick. They took the series from the Royals and then took two or three from the Cleveland boys. And, you know, it's encouraging. Now they're back in Kansas City tonight. It's a lot of the same pitching matchups we saw before. So it'll be interesting to see how offenses respond. You know, when pitchers see the same team twice in a row, they tend to get dusted up a little bit. But this matchup here between Volquez and Gibson is the exact same matchup that we saw, I think, 5 days ago. So both of those pitchers will have to change it up a little bit against offenses that have seen them very recently.
We were just talking to Mike Berardino, Hardball, from the Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com, a little earlier today at 5:30, and he said that the Kansas City Royals are a little punchy right now. They had a couple of dust-ups over the weekend. How do you expect them to go? Obviously, the Twins starting a three-game series with them tonight. Think it's going to be like the hockey game down the street from where we are right now, down in Kansas City as well?
Yeah, I mean, they're a little bit upset with the A's, but they're still a little bit upset that the Twins injured Alex Rios, too, so it's hard to know what the fallout's going to be, but I think they're still pretty upset. They've been hit by pitches more than anybody else in baseball, and it's a lot. And so I don't know if teams are trying to put them in their place as kind of a young upstart, kind of brash, cocky team, or what exactly is going on. But hopefully it doesn't get out of hand, because this is a rivalry where, you know, the teams are going to play each other 19 times this season. If it gets out of hand early, it could be a really ugly season.
It's incredible. It can't be coincidental. It's got to be a statement made by each team playing against them, and most of it in their division, in their conference. But what is the number again? I think that Mike Berardino said it was 14 times to like three.
Yeah.
And of course the Twins have been hit three times and have hit someone four times. So it's you can just put that in perspective. I mean, the KC Royals were getting rocked with pitches. And free bases, apparently. But I'm really proud of the way things turned around. I'm glad that Paul Molitor was able to right the ship quickly and get their attitude in check. And that's, I think, the sign of a guy who's played a lot of baseball himself, and people like Torrey Hunter other people that kept it all in perspective. I think that's what you find now, is that there is enough leadership and enough swagger in that locker room to be able to turn things around and level it out.
Yeah, and they found a way to keep the losses close here. You know, the home opener was ugly, but they lost 4-2 against Cleveland the other day. Find a way to keep it close and give yourself a chance to get back in it. The offense has to get the wheels spinning again pretty soon. You know, they're not going to hit 200 for the entire season. But the tough thing is, this early schedule is a gauntlet, and it's been a gauntlet so far. But Kansas City's good. Seattle's good on this road trip. And then they come back here and play Detroit, Chicago, and Oakland. All those teams are just fantastic. So they need to find a way to not dig too big of a hole here early on.
Yeah, Brandon Warren from our Cold Omaha writing team at 105theticket.com talking about Twins playing faster games than usual. What's the difference so far in the speed of the game this year compared to last year?
Well, so far it's 15 minutes, which is obviously pretty sizable. And I think the nice thing there is it doesn't make the existing fans upset, but it might draw in a new demographic of fans, more tight games played, you know, in under 3 hours. And so far, 8 of their 12 games, which is two-thirds, have been played under 3 hours. And last year, that was below 50%. So that's a big improvement.
It's funny to watch batters, too, especially younger batters. I mean, players just aren't used to it yet. They're only a couple of weeks into the regular season. But stepping out of the batter's box. Or, oh, crap, I got to put that 1 foot back in there. But it's funny that they get used to it. And anything, the superstar and I completely agree, anything to speed up the game of baseball, and we are all for.
Yeah, and they're going to start getting in trouble.
Yeah, Brandon, let me just step in on you right now. I need to answer that question real quick. I'm really happy when they can speed up baseball and make it a quicker game. You know, it doesn't have to be the pastime. It has to be America's pastime, and that means a sport. That means something enjoyable and entertaining. It doesn't have to be just something to pass time. I can sit on the porch and whittle with a pocket knife and pass time, but I want something that is actually considered entertainment along with it, and not to the 1865 variety when baseball was invented. But, you know, anyway, what I'm saying is I'm glad they're playing faster. I'm glad that the rules have changed to make this game a little more a quicker pace.
Yeah, it hasn't affected the quality of games either, which is great.
No. Yep.
No, I think it's made it better, that and the aggressiveness, too, and the ability for managers to challenge and just, you know, they've made little tweaks here in the last couple of years, and I don't know, I'm just a fan. When it comes to watching a Minnesota Twins game or going to the ballpark, you and I were going to go to the ballpark. Well, we did go last Thursday, and as we were going, I said, we don't have to sit in our seats, do we? And you said, well, I like to, you know, grab some food and sit down and watch the game. What I like to do, especially at Target Field, is I never sit in the seats that I go to, ever. And I'm never really even sitting, period.
Why so?
I grab a beer, and I'm watching from, you know, back by Herbeck's behind home plate, you know, because it's all open, and I'm walking around the stadium a lot of the time back where Barrio is now in the left field. That second deck, I love watching the game from there down the foul line, from center field or just overlooking their, the bullpen. There are so many places and different vantage points that I like to eat my way around the stadium, drink my way around the stadium. And to me, that makes baseball that much more interesting. And the reason why Target Field, at the Metrodome, you couldn't do anything like that. You go get your hot dog, you come back to your seat, you sit there. But with Target Field, there are just so many different advantages, so many different vantage points and advantages of being there with the food. And it's just awesome. It's completely changed. Probably not for the better of baseball, in my opinion, because I'm not sitting there watching the game. I'm paying attention to the game and cheering, obviously, when things like that happen. But it's just different.
I think it is, too. I mean, you can see out from underneath that entire second level. There's no question. You can see out from underneath everything, and you can take on different aspects of the game, watching them warm up in the bullpen, you know, all different aspects and different angles of the game. If you want to go out and stand right, it's like you're standing in the outfield. You can get that close. Yeah. You can go behind home plate just the way we were when we were up in the press box and catch it from that angle.
Get through hot dogs and quarters at Chuck Knobloch over there in left field on college game day.
Chuck Knobloch doesn't play anymore.
Chuck Knobloch?
He doesn't play anymore.
I don't even know who that is. Can't think of him all the time.
Brandon Warren, do you sit down and take in the game that way, or do you move around and just eat and drink around the stadium like Ben?
Well, it all depends on the game, but the sight lines are great and the food is great. It's time for baseball to be great. But we sat and watched Trevor May from the first baseline yesterday, and it's great for me to sit and watch, but if there's a lot of things going on, I don't mind walking around the park either. It's a beautiful park, and there's lots of great places to see different angles for sure.
And check out the talent, if you know what I'm saying. Not on the field. But you both are married. You wouldn't know what I'm talking about.
Mine was with me, so that was great.
Wow, no, absolutely. And
look,
trust me, I'm the same way. I'm the same way.
You guys are the sweetest husbands of all time.
Yeah, mine is Carrie. So, and look, that's just the way it is. It's the way it is. And Ben, it is a little bit you, too.
What?
I love you as well.
I love you, too, buddy.
Okay, well, then I think it's mutual.
You love me and I love you.
I think that's what I'm trying to say here. That was an odd thing. I wish people... Are we live?
Unfortunately, we're on the radio right now.
Brandon Warren, thank you very much for your time and your efforts, and nice ride up in cold Omaha on the ticket. We'll talk to you again.
Thanks, gentlemen.
CB Dubs.
If he weighed like 300 pounds, we'd call him BW3. He's damn near close to 300 pounds.
No, he
weighs 275. We can call him quarter.
He does not.
We'll call him quarter to three.
Does he really weigh 275?
He's a big kid. I don't know. He just looks it. I can work at a circus. I can tell weight from anywhere. Trust me. What are we going to do? I mean, I know Elizabeth Meineke is who we wanted to get a hold of because we were talking some serious trash with her, and we won the first trash talk, and then we lost the second one. So we wanted to do it again before tonight's game, but I don't think she can do it because she's sick.
She said no. She said no, she couldn't do it. She's lost her voice, and I said superstar talks like Marv Albert today.
I do. I am. I don't know what happened. Yeah,
but she said, no, I'm sorry. I would kill to do it, but I can't. She's already scheduled in for Wednesday. Elizabeth Meineke, the Blues beat writer for Fox Sports Midwest, covers the team. Unfortunately, she's not up here either. I was hoping she'd come up and we'd get a chance to meet her and talk smack to her face-to-face. But 651-989-9105, I'm a little worried about tonight's game. Being your typical Minnesota sports fan, I was riding high, game one, thought that they were going to win, excited for them to win. They ended up winning game two. Just they seemed like a completely different team. Were manhandled by the St. Louis Blues. They were, I want to say, 4-5-1 in the last 10 games down the stretch for the regular season at home at the XL Energy Center. This coming from a Wild team that is normally unstoppable at home. Won 5 games in the playoffs last year, all at home, 5 of 6 at home. Tonight's game is extremely important because if the Minnesota Wild don't win this game, they lose home. Right now, they have home ice advantage, taking that game from St. Louis to game one. So
it says right on the towels.
Home of the home ice advantage, I know. I wish I had a gun, because I would end it all right here. But, you know, it's extremely important. So I just want to get people's... people are coming to the game. It's packed down here already. 651-989-9105. Tell me your thoughts on the Minnesota Wild. Are you concerned? You think that they're going to come in and crush it tonight? Worried about Dubnyk? Excited that Bergenheim and Fontaine are going to be back in the lineup? Cook and who else is sitting down? I can't remember.
Oh, Cook is up tonight.
No, Cook is down.
No, I don't think he's up. No, Tom said he was up.
Bergenheim is taking Cook's spot.
Okay.
And Fontaine is taking, and I can't remember who's... But anyway, they're changing things up. Going back to the lineup of game one, backing away from what happened at game two. So let's just call
let's just do that then. I mean, what the heck?
Let's talk shop about the Minnesota Wild.
Let's just do that. I mean, I should also remind you all that we've been brought to you and are still continuing to be brought to you by Rogoshevsky and Atkins, criminal defense attorneys. And so before you blow, call Rogo. We're here at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub downtown St. Paul.
Schrader's the one being replaced by Fontaine. Thank you, Sam, back at the studio. Schrader.
Very good.
Jordan.
And Cook is down.
Cook is down, yeah. Okay. Bergenheim taking his spot. Bergenheim, that's the reason they traded for Bergenheim.
Well, he's got good playoff production now. He's got like 12 goals in the playoffs and like 24 playoff appearances. 24.
Get him out there on the ice.
Yeah, he's a good player. Hell, get him out there. That was one of the key things that happened in game one where we won it so convincingly. Come on back, everybody. Radioactive Sports.
And we're back, everybody.
We're definitely back, and... I don't know what I was saying, but while we were experiencing some technical difficulties, some people were stopping by and saying hi, and they said, the snap was fine in 1998. I just got one of those.
Did you really?
Just the snap was good, Mike. That's don't funny. Worry about that anymore. They still think that I'm sleeping poorly, I guess, over the 1998 game. I am, by the way. But as we were mentioning, what the home court or the home ice advantage was and what it should be, it hasn't been. And we've got to reestablish ourselves. Speaking of the Minnesota Wild, of course, Ben Holson and myself, Radioactive Sports here at Tom Reed down in St. Paul at the Hockey City Pub, sitting across the street waiting for this next, this third match between the Minnesota Wild and the St. Louis Blues. And look, they're tied 1-1. It's back home, and you have to come back and show them that you've got clout at home and really put it on tonight. I think they will put it on tonight.
How interesting do you think it is, coming off that high from game one, going in there and just blowing the buckets off, blowing the doors off the joint. I can't remember, it's Scott Trade Center or something. I can't remember what it's called down there in St. Louis. And then coming back game two and being disappointed, even though Mike Yeo is trying to sell it that, no, we played the game we wanted to play and this and that. You ended up losing 4-1. There was an empty netter at the end of the game. Vladimir Tarasenko, damn Russian, had a hat trick. And so you would have to think that the Minnesota, the Wild, were just down in the dumps just a little bit. I mean, anytime you lose a game, you're riding high, and then you have that comeback down. But coming back to St. Paul, being tied 1-1 against a team that you hadn't beaten on their home ice until at the end of the season, one of the last games of the regular season this year, but until it had been since 2007 before that. So how, being a professional athlete, how do you take that coming back here now? Going, guys, we shouldn't be down about what happened in game two, even though it was a bummer of a game. We got one, we won one game, took one game. They no longer have home ice advantage anymore because we took one from them at home. To come back here and make sure that you're playing on the top of your game, even though they had struggles down the stretch going 4-5-1 in their last 10 games here at the Xcel Energy Center, to turn that back around into the Minnesota Wild's favor. Because, you know, fans, as they've been all afternoon here at Tom Reed's Hockey City Club, it's going to be pandemonium in there. Even Devin Dubnyk was saying, you know, this is his first year with the Minnesota Wild. He's only been here since January. And he said Parisi and Suter and some of the guys, Mikko Koivu and Nita Ryder and some of these other guys were telling him, dude, it's a completely different place at the XL in St. Paul come playoffs. And that's right. How much is that going to go into the fact that giving the Minnesota Wild their confidence back here again at the XL Center?
It's everything. It really is. If you can feed off the positivity of the home field, or the home ice, rather, then you have a chance. But you have to switch the momentum really quick. I mean, you're playing against the same people. Like, I didn't have that in the NFL, where you go game in, game out, yeah. Game in, game out, same people. And, you know, can we beat them in 2 days? And can we beat them in 4 days again? And then you go back to their place and somehow beat them there. It's the same person every time. I mean, that can get pretty hot and pretty personal. Let's put it that way. After the Blackhawks last year, a lot of the Minnesota Wild players were saying, we're sick of seeing these guys. We're sick and tired of each other. They're sick of us, and it's getting old. But how do you change the momentum? If someone just put a thumping on you, how do you turn it around in 2 days and come back and somehow find a way to get on top? Well, you have to come out fast. You have to come out making things happen right off the bat and start riding momentum when it's on your home ice. And I think that's what they've got to do tonight. They've got to come out and really make something happen and skate aggressively and not worry about the hits and all the thumping going on out there, because they're going to definitely do that, and just play your game and get one in the goal quick. Because Jim Rich and you have both pointed out that when we score first, we're like 36-7 or 8 or something like that.
And vice versa if we allowed the first goal.
Yeah.
The game is basically, I was talking to Tom Marie, or we both were. I said, Tom, it's whoever scores the first goal is going to win. And I can basically turn my TV off at that point. Obviously joking, but that just seems to be the case. I'm wearing my Wild hockey jersey, by the way, my sweater. There's blood on it. I had no idea. I must have beat somebody's ass.
I think you actually...
you want it to be you next?
Yeah, I can't.
Don't step up.
Listen, don't worry about it.
Just kidding.
I know what it is, though. I think what you do is you stood up and you put the end of your hockey sweater in your hamburger juice on your plate. So that's what it was. I think it's hamburger juice. Yeah. Well, that bloody's for that bloody juice. You got it medium rare, and I can tell you, you put it right in the middle of all that, and some ketchup. That's what it is.
I think it's barbecue sauce.
It could be.
But I like hamburger juice.
Wow.
I could drink that. They should come up with a soda.
Hamburger juice soda?
Yeah, that'd be great.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I'm not...
Come on back, everybody. We got plenty to get to. But to finish out the show, we've got another one of my breaks. You never really know what the hell's going to happen there, but I can tell you right now, we're going to make it Minnesota Wild again. Give us a call, 651-989-9105. We're going to break down a different angle and talk Dubnyk. The first playoffs ever for Devin Dubnyk. He responded extremely well in his first ever playoff game, coming up big in the first one and getting us the win. And You know what? What is his frame of mind? We saw him take a couple chops at Steve Ott's hamstrings. Dubnyk is real deal, man. He is not playing around out there. We're going to talk about Dubnyk and what happens if something should happen to Dubnyk. We'll play out that scenario when we return. Don't forget, the number is 651-989-9105. Right here at Radio Active Sports, brought to you by Rogoszewski, Rogoszewski, and Atkins. Before you blow, call Rogo. Come on back. Welcome back, everybody. What's your rush?
Oh, I see what you did there.
Caller number 15 at 651-989-9105 wins a pair of tickets to see, funny little segue, isn't it? Rush at the Excel, May 12th. Caller number 15 at 651-989-9105 is going to see Rush. So hurry up and dial Sissy Pants. It looks like a little Geddy Lee and little Neil Peart. A little Rush. I don't know if I like 2112 or Left Overture better. I don't really know. Both great albums for me. But anyway, we're going to get into a little Devin Dubnyk talk.
The Dubinator. Doobie Doobie Doo, where are you?
He's one of those guys. He is a character. What, really one in a million kind of guy. He's not just one of the guys. He's one of the guys that came into this town and made a difference in our entire franchise. And we have four teams in this town, and he's made a difference in the Wild all by himself. So it's
but he's not one of those guys that comes in and says, look at me. You would never, in fact, when you we play clips about him on the radio and whatnot after the game that our guys from Cold Omaha get. And he's very quiet. He's not a boisterous guy. But that's what you get out of goalies. Goalies are always kind of keep to themselves, but weird. I mean, Ilya Bryzgalov last year. We used to play clips of him talking about how much he loved his husky and compared him to, like, beautiful blonde women. So many different things. But he seems normal-ish, but quiet. And just so grateful. Every time you hear Devin Dubnyk talk, he just says, I'm just so happy to be part of this team. The way the guys play out in front of me, that's the reason for my success and for the reason for the team's success. He never comes in and says, you know what? I've had a pretty good run here since being traded in the Wild. I'm living up to my number one draft pick status. Yes, I should be the MVP of the league. You never hear him say anything about that. It's always deflecting onto his teammates and how good his teammates are. And that's why I think Devin Dubnyk fits just right in and why the Wild and Devin just love each other. I mean, it's just one big love fest down there.
Yeah, I've talked with Jim Rich. I've talked with, you know, Mark Parrish about Dubnyk. We've talked to Tom Chorsky about him. And I know that Jim Rich has always gone on to say that he's very relaxed in the locker room before a match. He's kind of different in that aspect of being a goaltender. I know that a lot of guys in football, like you're mentioning, the place kicker, the punter, the specialists are very, very to themselves and within themselves because it's such a mental approach that they have to their game. Well, Dubnyk keeps it loose around the locker room, kind of an easygoing, easy demeanor to be around. He just sits there and talks and just sort of gets dressed at the same time and gets ready to play. That's totally different. I mean, that is totally different, but yet very quiet and within himself. Devin Dubnyk getting a shot. Being traded from the Coyotes to the Minnesota Wild and now making the very best of it.
Yeah.
And what a player he's turned out to be for us. So we're going to take another little break. And when we do, we're going to come back because someone is back in the National Football League, at least for a training camp or for a while at least. We don't know exactly how long, but yes, the name has resurfaced. Tim Tebow. He lands a one-year contract with the Philadelphia Eagles this time.
Oh, God, Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly doing?
I think he's trying to buy up all the quarterbacks. He's trying to buy up every quarterback so that he has the advantage because he has all the quarterbacks. I don't know what he's doing. No one really knows. I would say maybe just Chip Kelly himself. But we're going to come back and talk about this because, yes, Tim Tebow is back along with two other brand-new quarterbacks. Well, Mark Sanchez has been there, but they have everyone. Bradford's there now, and God knows what they're going to try to do with Mariota.
I don't understand. They signed Sanchez, two-year, $8 million contract. What?
Yeah.
Two years. What?
And there you have it. That's all coming up. Next break, give us a call. 651-989-9105. We'd like to talk about Tim Tebow. And you know what? We'll pray for you. Hurry on back.
Passionate sports talk.
Teddy Bridgewater. He throws it pretty deep.
No one better at throwing an accurate football than Teddy Bridgewater. No one more accurate.
That's a bold
Aaron Rodgers? I love that kid throwing a deep football.
On your sports station, 105 The Ticket.
Hockey playoffs are back in Minnesota, and Rogaszewski, Rogaszewski, and Atkins are proud sponsors of Radioactive Sports and our live broadcast from Tom Reed's. Rogaszewski, Rogaszewski, and Atkins have been practicing criminal defense law, including DUI offenses in South St. Paul for over 60 years. When everything's on the line, you need a criminal defense firm that has the experience to get you the best possible result. Visit Rogaszewski, Rogaszewski, and Atkins at rogo-law.com. And remember, before you blow, call Rogo.
We live in a world full of choices, and that's what Home Choice is all about, giving you more choices of ways to get brand-name furniture sets, smart TVs, home theater and gaming systems, laptops and tablets, appliances, and more today. How? Easy. Everyone's approved, so you get your choice of flexible ownership options with affordable payments. And with easy in-house financing, you can even build or improve your credit. So hurry into Home Choice. Call 1-877-45-CHOICE or click HomeChoiceStores.com today. Build or improve your credit does not apply to layaway.
It's time to talk about the spring cleaning heroes at Zero Res Carpet Care. What? You weren't planning on getting your carpets cleaned this spring? Don't wait to clean your carpet when it looks dirty. Sure, Zero Res makes your carpet look great, but that's only half the reason you need to clean. Zero Res removes dust and bacteria and allergens so your home is healthy and feels fresh and clean. Just like a hero. Zero Res cleans with patented powered water, not soaps or shampoos, so you get a healthy, clean home without soapy, crunchy, dirt-attracting residue. Oh, you might not see their capes and their big blue Z on it, but it's there. And it smells great when they're done. Zero Res even cleans 7 days a week to fit your schedule. Call today and ask about the 105 The Ticket special. Three rooms pre-treated, clean, and sanitized, starting at $159,952-ZEROREZ. Backward or forward, it spells the same. That's Zero Res Carpet Care, and make sure you ask for the 105 The Ticket special, you hero.
Ham and cheese ain't cutting the mustard these days. Shoot for lunch at the Osseo Gun Club and get special pricing on range time from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. The Osseo Gun Club has 20 lanes, moving targets, or try out the simulator and shoot zombies. The Osseo Gun Club carries a full line of handguns and ammo, and they now offer on-site gunsmithing. Have a blast on your break and bring your coworkers to the Osseo Gun Club over lunchtime. Go to OsseoGunClub.com for more information.
Back to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson on 105 The Ticket.
This kid is a gamer. He's a follower. He's a playmaker and a shot caller.
In case you didn't know,
I got Tebowed. He shattered the mold. And all he does is win. All he does is win games.
Listen.
I got Tebowed. He shattered the mold. And all he does is win. All he does is unleash.
Tell Tebow.
Let him go.
It's time.
Turn him loose.
Let him play. Let him play.
On Sunday.
Unleash.
Tell Tebow. Let him go.
It's time.
Turn him loose.
Let him play.
I'm going to church Sunday.
Run, pass, option. I think that's my game.
I guarantee you that.
I'm no Don Elway.
He's rewriting the book.
Week in and week out.
He's a unique
football player.
That's what Tim Tebow's all about.
He's a gamer. He's a caller. Playmaker. Shot caller. He's a gamer. He's a caller. Playmaker. Shot caller. Unleash.
Tim Tebow.
Let him go.
It's time.
Turn him loose.
Let him play. Let him play.
On Sunday.
And all he does is win. All he does is win.
One more day. One more win.
All he does is win games.
Oh, yeah, he's back like he is with Philadelphia. Oh,
you know,
back in an NFL way. I mean, it's not like some satire song patronizing the Holy One, Tim Tebow, the great one out of Florida, Heisman Trophy winner, first-round draft choice, pick number 26 by the Denver Broncos. He's a good football player. Is he a quarterback? Well, yes, he's played quarterback at a relatively high level, because I can tell you right here and right now, he's won a playoff game playing for the Denver Broncos against a very, very good Pittsburgh Steelers squad, and he sent them home. He's the ultimate gamer. He really is. He comes to play, and he finds a way. It's the ugliest pass in the world. Sometimes he has to take off and run with it. He knows what he's doing when he's running with it.
He wins playoff games.
Big, strong kid. And he won. He did win that playoff game. It wasn't enough for John Elway, the great one who sits upstairs now and makes all the decisions with Pat Bowlen's money. And that's why he brought, just this quarterback in named Peyton Manning. However, Tebow has resurfaced. He had a shot with New England and the Jets. And now he finds himself still out east with the Philadelphia Eagles, this time with Chip Kelly and the Philadelphia Eagles. If you'd like to call us and join in on this one, the number is 651-989-9105. If you have a phone call or something you'd like to drop in on us as a message, then feel free to do so. Even at 105 The Ticket, you can go to that and to our Twitter page and knock us down.
I hate to switch topics on you this quickly, but some couple of things break. And as you know, what I say in my sports flashes updates twice an hour.
There it is right there. I mean,
Chris Thomason from the Pioneer Press reporting Adrian Peterson will remain with the team if he is not traded during the draft, which, I mean, when you think about it, right?
Absolutely. I mean, what else did we think? What else did we think was going to happen? Of course he is. The Vikings are saying that he's going to be with us if he's not traded during the draft or before the draft. He will be traded, I think. I really think so. God, I don't know how this can go on with him and the Vikings being as awkward as it seems already. But the best case scenario is that if we get him back and he plays as hard as he normally does, is we get a heck of a running back and forget about the rest of it. Well, it's hard to forget the rest.
Yeah, it's interesting. Adrian Peterson, like I said, will remain with the Minnesota Vikings if he is not traded before the end of the upcoming draft, according to Chris Thomason, St. Paul Pioneer Press. Chris Thomason said if he's not traded next week, they're going to keep him, according to a source, Chris Thomason. We all know about the indictment, child abuse charges, 30 years old, reinstated last week. Much speculation, heated exchanges between Peterson's agent Ben Dagra and general manager Rick Spielman, owner Mark Wilf, and Rob Brzezinski and everybody. But Thomason's source said the Arizona Cardinals, Atlanta Falcons, Dallas Cowboys, Jacksonville Jaguars, San Diego Chargers, and Tampa Bay Buccaneers are all interested in making a trade for Adrian Peterson. It's funny how the list of teams continues to grow, and we've talked about, obviously, the announcement of the indictment, all the way up until currently talking about Adrian Peterson right now. When we talked about him being reinstated and how that would probably stoke the flames yet again, okay, now it's official, he's back in the NFL. Teams won't have to worry about trading him. If they get, say, the San Diego Chargers traded for Adrian Peterson last week, they don't know for sure if he's going to be reinstated into the league. Now that he is, and it's a for sure thing, and he's not going to be suspended anymore or anything like that as long as he stays on the straight and narrow, which I have no reason to believe that he wouldn't. He did before. The teams are growing, and that hopefully means that the compensation and the bidding wars are growing, and this could play out very nicely for the Minnesota Vikings, whether they keep Adrian Peterson or they end up trading him for draft picks or a player to be named later, or whoever it is.
That's what he's banking on. I think that's what we're banking on, forcing the issue and telling him he's going to stay. He's going to stick, and if the phone rings, it rings. We always pick up the phone. That's what they do with everybody. For any reason, they're going to hear, if something is out there that they feel can better this team, they're going to do it. And Adrian Peterson's value, if someone wants to put up that kind of bounty for him,
I think so.
I predict that will happen. Is that the Vikings will, of course, deal him off, but right now they'll play the card that they have to play. We have him on contract for 3 more years. He's our player. We expect him at camp. We are glad to say that Adrian Peterson will be rejoining the Vikings. That was after he was reinstated, so it's really up to, I guess, a team now. We knew the floodgates would probably open on the possibility of a trade after he was reinstated. So we're waiting on that. And whether it happens or not, I believe it'll happen shortly, because we only have a couple weeks, less than 2 weeks, leading up to the draft and or on draft day. So I think it's going to happen sooner than later to get that thing up and running. The Vikings have to know something about what they're going to do with him so they can position themselves for what they want to do in the draft.
Out of these six teams that Chris Thomason named, or his source named in his story in the Pioneer Press about the update of Adrian Peterson, if he's not traded by the draft, he will be on the Minnesota Vikings, according to a source from Chris Thomason in the Pioneer Press. Out of these six teams, rank them for me, number one to number six on where you would like Adrian Peterson to go. It's
okay.
Least likely. The teams being the Arizona Cardinals.
Yep.
The Atlanta Falcons.
Yep.
The Dallas Cowboys.
Yep.
Jacksonville Jaguars. San Diego Chargers. Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Okay.
Number one, you're saying the Jacksonville Jaguars, which obviously makes sense. Gets them out of the NFC, puts them on a team that's not very good, very young. They have probably much better assets draft pick-wise to give us. Number two being Tampa Bay. Again, keeps them in the NFC. However, they have a number one draft pick and likely going to take Jameis Winston for a reason. I mean, the worst team in the NFL.
So I've got them all written down. You gave me the six teams, and I just kind of feel like I've done this in the way of either AFC, NFC, or a team that is least competitive, least of a worry or a problem to the Vikings should we have to deal with someone else later on in the playoffs. So I definitely don't want to see him go to the kind of team that is needing only one more piece to their puzzle. Jacksonville is number one, being on the AFC side of the ball, and just that team. Tampa, because they've got the big draft choice, huge draft choice, and they don't pose something as menacing, of course, as the rest on this list. San Diego can be a really, really good team with a guy like Adrian Peterson. But they're San Diego, they're AFC, and I'm fine with that. Atlanta, I'll tell you right now, Atlanta's pretty close. Some defensive help on Atlanta on that side of the ball, and they've got plenty of offense. But you put a guy like Adrian Peterson behind Matty Ice and those receivers, and you've got yourself a team.
For sure.
Arizona, of course, an up-and-coming team. If Carson Palmer can come back, I think. And, by the way, their second-team quarterback, I forget his name, they played very well with that young man as well. I can't remember who the
Ryan
backup
Lindley?
Was.
Was that the third?
I'm not sure. I'd have to check that out. But they were pretty good through two quarterbacks. Dallas, of course, remains. The last thing I would want to do would be to trade this guy, Adrian Peterson, to the Dallas Cowboys. That would make zero sense to me.
Eagles are already selling Tim Tebow jerseys one day after announcing the signing.
Of course they are. Because of the name. Of course. We get it. You can't pull the wool over your and my eyes, that's for sure. We are going to come back with the sillier side of sports. Maybe, might just lead off that way with Tim Tebow re-signing in Philadelphia. That might be part of your bit with the sillier side of sports. And then I'll give you a true superstar at the end of the show, and we'll be done. And off to the match to visit of the Minnesota Wild, scrimmaging tonight against the St. Louis Blues. Come on back, everybody.
April 20th became kind of a stoner holiday.
We need to be very clear about the benefits of marijuana use.
Legalizing marijuana would improve the economy.
We just got our first whiff of marijuana.
Everybody's mellow. Everybody's stoned.
I'm so stoned.
Weed gives people the munchies.
Who's on munchies tonight, yo?
There's so many reasons why eyes may look bloodshot.
Cause I'm high.
Enjoy your 420 holiday.
You're high.
Oh boy.
Well.
Things happen.
What's happening?
I'll tell you what's happening. We're down here at Tom Reed's, brought to you by Rogoszewski and Atkins, criminal defense attorneys. Before you blow, call Rogo. We're at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. The Minnesota Wild take on the St. Louis Blues tonight. Game three, tied series 1-1. The sillier side of sports.
It's time to do shots, I think.
Maybe some shots. It's fine with me. I'm all for it.
What are they, boxing over there? What's going on?
I think that it's a fight. Be a fight.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Just sit in Detroit and watch fights happen in the stadium when we were playing the Lions. There'd be fights going, you can see them all over the stadium happening at the same time.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. People are silly. Sillier side of sports. So, President Obama welcomed the Ohio State Buckeyes
to the White House. Congratulate them on the national championship.
Well, how about that? Isn't it about time we went there with a team, some team, maybe the Minnesota Wild?
Or just our afternoon show.
We could be invited. I mean, it would take a great, great achievement. How do you think we'll do that?
I don't know. But anyway, the Ohio State Buckeyes gave the, you know, they do the photo with the team and the president.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the big team photo with the pres.
One of the Buckeyes, and I don't know who, was giving the president rabbit ears. That seems pretty disrespectful to me.
Was it 12-gauge?
It wasn't 12-gauge. Not that I know. I don't think it was 12-gauge. I didn't recognize who it was. I couldn't tell whose hand it was, necessarily.
You would just think that they would be more, I guess, respectful and not do those kinds of things. After all, it is the President of the United States. I don't think it would be good to give him the old rabbit ears or the peace sign or whatever you want to call it. I don't think you want to do that. Are you? Would you do that if you and I went there with Radioactive Sports and they had you and I come in and take a picture with him because somehow we made it to the White House for
a
visit?
It was Michael Bennett, not that Michael Bennett, not former Minnesota Viking Michael Bennett, but it was this Michael Bennett right here.
Wasn't that running back that we had here?
No, and it's not the defensive end either. Michael Bennett.
Is there something wrong with that guy?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, sure, no one's going to ever see it. No one will ever see him do that. What do you want to bet that he might have been talked to?
Yeah.
What do you want to bet he won't start the first game of the year anyway?
It would have been funny if what a Secret Service would have shot him. I mean, how stupid can you be?
Really?
Shoot him.
I say they still do it. You take him out back.
Shoot him.
That's dumb. That's pretty stupid.
That's stupid.
That's
people
really,
stupid.
Really stupid. I mean, God, you get a chance to go do something like that. And that's what you do.
Yeah.
So that's what you do.
Still, your side is sports.
Isn't it funny? Isn't it funny to do that to the President of the United States?
Whether you hate it or love it, Tim Tebow back in the media spotlight. Been talking about him today a little bit. Chip Kelly signing Tebow in April means nothing. It doesn't guarantee him a roster spot. It's still a far from a redemption story, but you never know. Obviously, the Tebow fans are crazy about it. With that being said, have you ever had a Philly pretzel from a Philly pretzel company?
No, I have not.
Bob Sansevier, I was telling you about this earlier today, said, oh, God, they're famous. You got to have them. They're unbelievable. But anyway, Tim Tebow signed yesterday. There are already jerseys that the Philadelphia Eagles are selling, and there are already pretzels that this Philly pretzel company, obviously trying to cash in while they can. Tebow mania, he's a darling, surely going to dominate the airwaves. Obviously, we've talked about it a couple of times already today, but it's a pretzel in the kneel down, like Tim Tebow does. It's the likeness of Tim Tebow praying and kneeling down after he scores a touchdown.
So if you eat one of those, do you eat one of those pretzels, do you really have to say grace you eat it?
Probably not.
Because the food is actually praying for you.
Yeah.
Right?
Isn't that funny?
I mean, I'm wondering. I mean, that might save time. You can get right to it before they cool down.
There's a new thing that's happening in Kentucky. This has to be the weirdest trend.
How new?
This has to be the weirdest trend. Apparently, Kentucky's Devin Booker has run into a bit of a unique problem of fans licking his Dodge.
I have that happen all the time to my truck.
Seriously?
People just stand out there and lick my truck.
Stop it. It's not true. Apparently, this all started during an autograph signing in Kentucky, which Booker explained in an interview. Someone told me, quote, they did something to your car out there. I'm not going to tell you. So I said, what was it? And they said, a girl licked your car. If you tell Kentucky fans that someone licked your car, they all lick your car. Now you know. And there are, I mean, you can, Twitter, photos, Instagram. People are licking his car, taking pictures of themselves, and then hashtag licking cars or what, I'm not even really sure. But I don't get why licking cars. It doesn't make any sense.
No, I mean, the only thing I can come up with that, you know, kind of runs back to a story that I've already told you about, myself being punished by my father. I shot him in the ass with a BB gun.
You didn't tell me that, did you?
No, I did. I told him I shot him in the ass with a BB gun by accident. I was on the other side of the farm pond, and I was shooting at frogs, trying to kill frogs. And it glanced off the water, and it ricocheted right up into my dad's ass and smacked him right in the ass. So he came stomping around the bank after me, and he got me, and he pulled me off to the side, took the BB gun away from me. And he took me up to the old Dodge Dart, and he put me in the Dodge Dart and said, you know what, You're going to stay there till I'm done. You're going to absolutely stay there until I am
sitting in the car.
Fishing, yeah. And so as I'm locked in the car, I'm
locked in. Because he was fishing and you're shooting guns? Okay.
Well, BB gun, you know. Yeah. Just, you know, he's fishing and I'm getting trying to nail some frogs.
Sure.
Because we ate frog legs.
Okay.
We eat bullfrog legs.
Sure.
So anyway, I was trying to contribute.
Yeah.
I was trying to bring home the frog legs. But he put me in the car. And these cattle will go down to drink from the pond about the same time every night. And that's when we were down there. Well, they also found that my dad's car, since we drove down all these gravel roads and everything, was full of like
salt.
Salt.
Yeah.
They're like a salt block. And they licked the car clean.
How old were you?
About 8.
Then had you experienced this before, or were you freaking out?
That was the first time, and the cows were just licking the car down pretty good. And on every side of the car, they found out that it was salty, and so they were at it. They were at it, and I was sitting inside, and I was little bit worried about the whole thing. My dad didn't care, of course. His ass was still probably bleeding,
it didn't really break the skin, did it? I mean,
it did.
It went through the pants.
Yeah.
A BB shot.
This one was jacked up pretty good. I mean, we're not talking about the Daisy Red Ryder 200 carbine air model range rifle with a compass and scope. Look out, kid, you'll put your eye out.
Sure.
We're talking about one of the kind you can keep pumping it up until it's about like a 22. I mean, damn near. With a glance up the water.
Did he ever show you the mark it made on his rear?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The BB was in flesh.
It opened the skin. It popped the skin open, and I don't know if he picked that or not. I don't know. I really don't. But I know that it bruised him, and it actually punctured him.
Wow.
So that wasn't good, and that's what that story reminds me of. Do not lick cars.
Well, in Kentucky, people lick cars. In Iowa, it's cows.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Tonight's game, unbelievable itself. Minnesota Wild facing off here in just a couple of minutes. You can watch it on CNBC or FSN Plus. Game 3, round 1. St. Louis Blues all tied up 1-1. You think the Wild are going to win. I'm so superstitious that I say they're going to lose, because every time I say they're going to lose, they end up winning. So obviously I'm keeping my fingers crossed and winking my eyes. But let's hope they win tonight. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Wall-to-wall coverage. Twins also starting at 7:10. Heck of a day here at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. Thanks for having us. Thanks to Sam back at the station. Thanks to Mike engineering things here. Holding down the fort at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. Take us home there.
Here we go. We have a true superstar pick for you. Army Specialist James T. Wickliffe Chasen, 22 years of age, from Edmond, Oklahoma, assigned to the 6th Squadron, 8th Cavalry Regiment, 4th Brigade Combat Team out of Fort Stewart, Georgia, died September 20th at Brooke Army Medical Center in San Antonio, Texas. Injuries sustained when an improvised explosive device detonated near his dismounted patrol during combat operations in Pool E Alam, Afghanistan on August the 12th. Please keep that young man in your hearts and prayers. He was a brave soldier. He gave his life for us and for his country. Army Specialist James T. Wickliffe Chasen is my true superstar.